Welcome to Design Oracles. We are here to pontificate, evangelize, and educate you on residential interior design and architecture.
I'm Amity Worrell, interior designer of Amity Worrell and Company.
And I'm Diane Kett, architect of DK Studio.
Okay. Hi, Diane. Nice to see you.
Hi, Amity.
I'm excited about our conversation today.
I know.
I was thinking about titling it, If These Walls Could Talk, but that's been used. It's a very popular title.
Oh, is it?
I think I used it for a blog already. So, yeah. today, we're going to kind of have a discussion in depth about walls and wall treatments. So this is not so much about the construction of walls or the material that wall is made of, but about how we kind of decorate or finish off our walls, which sounds like it would be a very small subject, but there's a lot of options.
There are so many options, right?
Yeah.
It's not just paint.
Yeah. So just to get, yeah, exactly. People think, well, we must be talking about paint, but not necessarily. So when I'm trying to help a client understand the finish options for their homes, finish options meaning the materials that are going to get applied to the walls and the countertops and the flooring and all of that, the things that you're actually going to touch and feel. We usually start talking initially about ceilings. We say, okay, the easy way to process this is stand in each room and think about when you look up, what do you want the ceiling to look like? What do you want it to feel like? Is it going to be a drop ceiling? Is there going to be ceiling tiles? Or are we going to tile the ceiling in bathrooms with tile? Are we going to paint? Are we going to put mirror? Whatever it is. And then the next step is the crown molding, whether there is one or isn't one. We kind of just move down the space. And the next step would be talking about the walls. And people don't really understand that there are just so many options for them.
Right.
So some of the options that people might not have thought of are tile for walls, even in places like entrance halls.
Right.
Yeah. I think many of us have been on vacation in Europe or in, you know, maybe in Mexico or in the Southwest. And a lot of times entrance halls will have tile up them, like a wainscot detail of tile.
Or even the whole wall too.
Or even the whole wall all the way up. I was writing a blog yesterday about Moroccan style. And I was looking at a lot of the Zellige tile that's really popular right now and out there. And a lot of those spaces, Moroccan style spaces, I was looking at some images of Casablanca and Marrakesh. And those are tiled materials. Historically, a material that people would use would be tile for the walls. So that is something that people don't consider, but is definitely an option. I'm also working on another project where we're trying to marry the husband and wife's taste. And the husband really likes Mexican-style homes, which in my research I'm seeing a lot of them do have tiled archways and tiled walls. And the wife's maybe more into painted paneling for walls. So I'm trying to decide where are we going to use one versus the other. And then I was at a job site a couple days ago.
Yeah.
This was exciting, where we did tiled walls on one side of the fireplace. And the tile actually has a raised portion in the center and lights mounted behind it. So the light shines up and down. I know. It's 3D. It's amazing. Yeah.
So did you have to get like specially handmade tiles for that?
Yeah. So the tile comes ready to, you know, some of the tiles are flat and flush to the wall. And some of them have that sort of raised portion in the center, like a belly that comes out. And you, as the interior designer with the tile installer and the electrician, because it's lighting, you lay out where you want the bellied out ones to go in the pattern, whether it's a pattern or it's one or two or three or four or the whole wall. And then you wire to that location. It's a pretty intricate installation. And then you have light shining out from behind the tile and it goes up and down. This is not, doesn't
direct
penetrate the tile.
Yeah.
So
that, then that creates such a dramatic scene on the tile wall, right?
And the tiles themselves have a lot of texture to them.
Cool. I can't wait to see
it. Yeah, it's going to be pretty. We're photographing it soon. So that's just kind of a thing that, you know, I don't know if you run into that, Diane, when you're designing bathrooms, but I know I've heard you talking to people about if they're afraid of moisture getting wet, that tiling the walls might be an option.
Yes, definitely, especially when you have little kids. Somehow that wall's just going to get wet with something.
It's going to be something.
Or something else.
Some other bodily fluid.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
I just was always like, how did that get from there to here? I mean, seriously, what were you doing?
What were you thinking? Yeah. So just keep that in mind. It's not, tile's not only for bathrooms. This is this particular house I was talking about earlier. It's a living room space. So.
And you mentioned like the Southwest. I mean, think of some of those great old hotels in Santa Fe mm-hmm. have like these beautiful tile walls, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
They're all usually hand-painted tiles and mm-hmm. they're just so lovely.
It's not just for a vacation. Yeah. You can have it in your own home.
You didn't just walk into a plain wall painted white, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So expand your mind. So in that same project, that same house next to the tiled wall, mm-hmm. we needed to come up with something that would be as interesting potentially as the tile. Wasn't just moving right to sheetrock for another portion of that same wall. There's a step setback. And so we chose to do plaster, like a Venetian style plaster in that portion of the wall. And, you know, plaster is, well, it's you know, a sheathing material that goes on top of the walls. Mm-hmm. And it can be done in a very, very sort of modeled way where there's a lot of texture and highs and lows.
Variation.
Variation. Mm-hmm. Or it can be done in a what we call Venetian plaster, which is just very, very finely done so that the surface is almost like a reflective mirror. I'm sure people have seen that and maybe wondered, what is that wall made of? How is that paint? You can do it so fine that it almost reflects back a reflection of you, mm-hmm. or you can do it with a little bit more texture. This was kind of an in-between. We needed to marry that tile that had some sheen to it with some of the texture that's in it. So plaster was the choice. And it's just magical. And it's the same color as all of the sheetrock walls, paint color as all of the sheetrock walls around it. Mm-hmm. Because in that plaster, you can choose any color you want. You can customize it to whatever color you want. So I think it's pretty common now, and even on some projects that, you know, Diane and I have worked on together, where the client will want plastered hood.
Yes, it's really on trend right now.
It is.
And you got to make sure you have a really good craftsman do it. And yeah. The other thing I do want to say is it can stain a bit with oil, right? We've noticed that on some of our projects when we go back. You
can get some oil staining. Have you seen that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you mm-hmm. do have to just be careful. And mostly that's where if we end up having it go down lower on the wall.
Yeah. You just want to be careful. But the good news is you can redo plaster. You can repair plaster. It's kind of a living material. So mm-hmm. that's a fun one. And then I love this conversation too. Just going circling back to just sheetrock or there are all sorts of different levels of finish out for sheetrock.
Right, different texture.
They, yeah,
a lot of times texture. The builder asks about what type of texture you want on it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we've all, or many of us have heard clients say, oh, I want level 5. Diane, do you know what level 5 means?
Yes, I love it.
It's your favorite.
Super, super smooth. The challenge is it's really hard to achieve, so you really have to spend time and labor doing it, so it does cost. It's the most expensive level you can do. And I would say if you're painting the wall and you're able to achieve that, that's just fabulous.
Yeah.
A lot of times we just can't get there with our budget. And so we'll maybe go to a level 3, which is more like an orange peel kind of surface mm-hmm. texture, which is mm-hmm. lighter. You still have some. And the whole idea of texture is to cover up the indiscrepancies in the sheetrock and the joints and everything so you don't quite notice it.
Yeah,
and that's also why the level 5 is so expensive. The level 4 is somewhere in between, but it seems like it always almost costs just as much as level 5, so then just go ahead and do level 5.
I've even heard people say there's no such thing. It's either level 5 or – but we a house I lived in had the sort of finish on the sheetrock that was almost pointy and painful to the touch.
Yeah.
Well, that's something you want to knock down if you can and get rid of.
Right.
Of course, it's easier if you're building a new build. It'll be a little bit less expensive than having to go back in and re-skim your entire house to get that.
Well, like in the 70s, they had the heavy Monterey drag, right?
Oh, yeah. I think that's actually what I'm – it's very – it looks like they were trying to make it look like Monterey, California. Was that the idea? Some idea of – heavy texture, but that's not that popular right now. And mm-mm. it just isn't, it does hide damage to the,
definitely.
or ill done sheetrock where the seams
easy
are
to hide bad.
But it's not usually preferred. And then next, you know, we can talk a little bit about paint, because that is probably the most typical option people think of to go on top of their sheetrock walls.
Right. And yeah, I mean, it's typically most walls don't have something on it.
Right.
Just sometimes it's that is the least expensive option. Right.
Yeah. Yep.
So again, when we're working with budget, we're looking at that.
And there's nothing wrong. I mean, it's not we're dissing paint. It's can be beautiful. I mean, there are gorgeous paint colors out there. There are different cost levels for paint. And I think we've even done a podcast, or we intend to do a podcast all about paint. But, you know, you can pay $120 a gallon or $35 a gallon or $6 a gallon. You're going to get a different product, a different finish. So we won't go into it too much here, but you should just know what you're buying when it comes to paint. You're going to want to do your homework. You're going to want to see it on the walls. Sometimes the less expensive paint will take more paint to cover a wall, in which case you're not saving because you're spending more on labor.
Right.
And if it's your own labor, your time's worth money too. So something to think about. I want to be careful about that. And then a really big trend right now that is happening for walls is wallpaper.
Yes, it is back with a vengeance.
Big time. Huge, huge market share right now is going to wallpaper.
It was interesting how it started creeping in just the bath, the powder bath.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden we are doing rooms of it, right?
Living rooms, entrance halls, stairwells.
Now you do have to prepare your wall almost like a level five in order to put the wallpaper on.
Yeah, that's definitely part of the cost is just preparing the wall, getting it ready to receive the paper, whatever type it is. You know, you're going to want to see, have your wallpaper installer tell you what kind of finish out you need on your walls before you install that particular paper. Some papers are really forgiving. There's a little more texture to them, and they can be very forgiving, and you can put them on a nubby wall, and some are less forgiving, and you're going to see every little tiny fine flaw in the wall, so you have to skim coat it. So there's a lot of different options out there. And, you know, then there's pattern repeat you have to think about. Can't just willy-nilly going buying as much paper as you think you're going to need if you're going to want the seams to line up and the patterns to line up and the repeats to line up. So I always like to joke it takes a mathematical genius to figure out how much wallpaper is needed for a wall. We typically let our installers make that call based on the paper you choose because they're not inexpensive oftentimes.
No.
Tends to be a pricier item. It can be, but then, yeah, you kind of get what you pay for when it comes to that. So.
And now with the wallpaper, you could – that's an easy way to do an accent wall too instead of, you know, they used to do the accent walls in a color back in the 90s, right? So now you could do wallpaper.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily, you know, like in 1970s, they would have the green forest on one wall. Remember those?
Don't make fun of that forest. I like it.
But you can do all kinds of different things. I feel like now there's just so many options.
Yeah, I remember sitting in my dentist's office in, you know, 1979 and staring into the deep forest that was across from the sitting area. But yeah, wallpaper is absolutely magical, can transform a space. It has the effect of changing the sound quality in a room.
And so, you know, back in the old houses, that was the only way to do a room because for the walls, because they would have, remember, like the horse hair plaster, and then they had that, they'd have shiplap walls and then kind of that linen type, remember
material,
that brown,
like a muslin.
And then you would apply wallpaper on top of
like
that.
Like a bar, like almost like gunny sacking material.
Yeah,
so there's in the past, wallpaper was a necessity just to make a room feel finished and clean and, you know, a little more cheerful. But yeah, there's a huge market for it now. And the thing that I like about it is you can just paint over it and you can even retexture over some wallpaper. So you don't have to be afraid of doing it, that you're going to get tired of it. There are options out there for changing it.
There's been some houses where we're doing demo and we find like, what, three layers of wallpaper?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And when I did the renovation on my own personal home that had been built in 1971, but the wallpaper had been removed out of the bathrooms when we took the toilet and the cabinet off the wall. In all three of the bathrooms, there was a little sheath of little piece of wall that still had wallpaper on it. And I pulled that off and saved it and framed it and put it in my hallway to remember what my childhood bathrooms
were. A little
were.
Homage.
I loved it. So the next thing I want to talk about walls that we're actually working on a project in Philadelphia now where we're doing this, but applying fabric to the walls. Not necessarily upholstery, that is an option, but just literally applying fabric to the walls as though it was a paper without a paper backing. It's a thing, and you have to have someone who knows what they're doing to do it. If you want to use your favorite fabric for a wall, you oftentimes have to check and make sure it can be installed without having a separate company apply a backing to it, which is totally possible, but it just is a whole other process and steps. So you would order the fabric, you would send it to the backing company would back it and finish off the paper and then send it to you in rolls. It's quite an elaborate process, but it's great if you have something you really love and you want to do it. What we're doing for this particular client is using an installer who knows what they're doing with fabric, and they can apply fabric directly to the walls without having to have that backing step. So it can be magical. It makes the room quieter, really beautiful.
It sounds magical.
And it can wrap up to the ceilings more easily. Mm-hmm. They don't have the same seam issues. And
cool. Fascinating. Didn't know about that.
I know. Isn't that great? I can't wait. I'm excited about that one. And then, to carry through on that thought, the fabric can also be made into upholstery and applied to the wall, like upholstered panels.
Oh, okay.
So you take, just as though you were making a headboard or some sort of a flat upholstered material, the back of a chair, you want to take a panel of wood or whatever material it is, wrap it in padding, and then wrap it in paper, and then apply it to the walls. We've probably seen this, many of us, in bedrooms, master bedrooms or primary bedrooms, sometimes kids' rooms. A lot of times.
It probably makes it so much quieter in there, too.
Yeah, it absolutely does.
Really,
and it's
great sound.
Beautiful. And that is one condition where I do think just one wall is appropriate. Oftentimes, with wallpaper, I want to see it in the whole room, or I don't know why that is exactly, but somehow when there's 3D, when it's depth to it, just applying it to one or two walls, I think, is good. But yeah, for a sleeping room, it makes a really, really cozy, comfortable place to be.
Yeah. Let's see. I guess you could do leather.
Yeah, leather
like
is an
upholstery,
option.
Right?
Yes, and I've
that
done,
must be great in libraries or studies.
Absolutely, like a gentleman's library. Mm-hmm. I have done leather panels. Same thing. You can have them in tile format, and they apply to the wall like a tile. Or you can just wrap the walls in leather.
Now, does that get dried out?
You have
I'm just
to probably,
thinking of taking care of the leather.
Yeah, I think it probably doesn't get the kind of wear that maybe your purse does or your leather shoes. So I think if your house is just conditioned properly, it shouldn't be an issue. But you can. The good news is you can treat the walls then. Just like people have leather on their desktops.
Right.
It probably does wear if you're touching it, or if there's a spot on the wall that you touch a lot, but there's a lot. There's even leather is really a popular material right now, and there are a lot of faux leathers, like vinyls too, that are popular, especially with people who are into animal rights and don't want to use leather. So
right.
You can still get
stuff out there for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And then one of my favorite materials, Diane's probably tired of hearing
this.
A house made of cork. Cork. I don't know what my fascination is with it, but again, it's absorbent to sound. It is a wood material. It is green because they harvest it off the trees and then it grows back. It's just an amazing material.
It has really, really interesting visual.
It does.
To it.
Yeah, there's a lot of character.
Yeah.
A lot of different types. And now that I'm saying this and you're hearing this, you should investigate it because it can be a flooring material. I've seen it done in airports. It's not even necessary. There's all sorts of different finishes they can put on it. But again, let me remember, we're talking about walls. But what I do love about it is it's simply a way, if you cork a wall, just like wallpaper, make it thick enough, you have a place to put up art or put up notices. And it's self-healing. So when you pull the pins back out, it feels
right.
fills back
yeah.
in. you know, to some extent over time, yes, it wears, but it can be easily replaced and it can be painted. So you're not stuck with that.
And we have a wall in an office we're doing right now. You and I have a project together where we're
doing
quartz.
So the
person can hang up whatever they want and move it.
And it's interesting. I hadn't thought about this, but, you know, or for this podcast, but you can put flooring material on walls as well. You can do cork floors attached to walls.
What do you mean?
So the flooring material of cork that I have, cork tiles that's on my floor, you can apply those to the walls. There's wall cork and then there's floor cork. And you can use, just like you can apply a flooring
but
material.
But you couldn't put a pin in it, right?
Because it's got exactly. Like a hard... It would have a harder finish. Mm-hmm. But for look, you know, you couldn't use it in the same way. Mm-hmm. So that is my favorite subject.
One of our
I just love it.
Wall
we make
finishes.
Furniture out of it. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, another one that is luckily having, I think, a resurgence
Total
too.
Resurgence.
Sheet glass.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you seeing that too, Diane?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Kitchen backsplashes and
yes.
butler's pantries.
Bars. Totally that the bars. And then there's so many fun different, you know, the vintage, the antiqued, the all those different types of mirrored glass.
Yeah, I recently saw some bronzed mirrors.
You can layer the mirrors,
mm-hmm.
which is great in the bathrooms.
Yeah, you can have a sheet mirror that's maybe antique and then hang a clear mirror in front of it.
And then there's mirror tile,
mm-hmm.
right, of all different sizes.
Yeah.
And they come in different finishes as well.
Yeah, mirror is just, it's back with a vengeance. To me, it's really never gone out of style. I think people think of those mirrored ceilings from the 70s. That's not what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
In the right space, that can be great too.
Yeah.
Makes a room feel taller. A lot of it's about what that mirror is going to be reflecting. So you just want to think
about
that.
And we did that really fun powder bath where we had the antique smoky mirrors kind of up.
Above the wainscot.
Above, 54 mm-hmm. inches or so.
Yeah, and it made that bathroom. It was small, but it made it
cool.
Look a lot bigger.
Yeah.
Turned out beautiful.
Very moody.
Problem with those is they're hard to photograph. So it's hard to show
we're
clients
able
how
to get
good.
A photograph
yeah,
of them.
It didn't really work very well. So I would say
that's okay. It's a secret that
no one
knows, and the homeowners get to enjoy it and their guests.
Yeah. I have a client who has, we didn't do this, but her house has a mirrored bathroom where all of the walls, the back of the door, and the ceiling are mirrored because it was tiny. And when you shut the door, yes, you can see yourself reflected in every single surface, but it makes it feel a lot bigger. It's kind of cool. But I would encourage you to consider it as an entrance hall material as well for mm-hmm. the walls, because, again, that sort of reflecting light, very welcoming. You know, everybody is used to seeing mirror as a hanging mirror, just a single framed mirror in an entrance hall, but a sheet of mirror with a mirror in front of it, beautiful.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, and then this is one that I think Diane also sometimes specifies. For fireplaces, do you ever specify a stone veneer?
Veneer,
can't say the
word.
Yeah,
you know, that kind of always drives me crazy because it's not the real thing. But
yeah.
Sometimes we don't have enough space because we've got windows and doors or whatever, and so we will take, and it is actually a cut, just a thin cut of the stone or brick, and you can apply it and make it look real.
So it's like they take the stone and then they slice off the back.
But I do not like the lick and stick.
Yeah, we know you don't like the lick and stick.
Where it's like a 12-inch by 12-inch square and it's a whole bunch of them on there and then you're sticking it onto the wall. That's like, there's a lot of fast food restaurants that have gone that direction. And I'm like, well, do you want to look like a fast food restaurant?
Yeah.
So, but you can just take really thin brick and then apply it just like you're doing a real masonry wall.
Yeah, and I think sometimes when the exterior of the house, say like at an entrance hall or a mudroom or some area that feels connected to the outside, if you're bringing some of the material from the outside of the house in, and that happens to be a beautiful brick for a mid-century house, or and you don't have the ability to put the actual material on the wall because of the engineering that would be involved to hold the weight, it's not the wrong thing to do something that looks very similar and just brings that material inside. And let's see, what do I have?
Sometimes people want to match that outside brick or stone and they want to put it in mostly their fireplace or maybe an accent wall.
Accent wall. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of accent walls, entrance halls, because so many people are doing glass entrance halls and you're looking at the front of the house and you see the material that's on the front of the house, and bringing that outside in by repeating that material inside is a popular thing. And then laminated panels or laminate panels are, you know, that's a thing. Yeah. So I know that's kind of mind blowing, but we've been making cabinets with, and I'm talking about here, like Formica sheeting or Wilson Art or one of those companies that makes plastic laminate. They make and can, we can manufacture.
I guess they panels. Do that a lot in commercial. I mean, you'll see that in elevators a lot.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You'll see it in commercial. So, you know, maybe you have a bat. Maybe that's what your dentist office elevator has. I don't know. But we've done it beautifully in homes. It has to be carefully done. The sizing has to be right. You have to figure out the seaming, whether or not you run a little reglet in between of metal so that each panel kind of clicks in place like a puzzle piece. But as we all know about plastic laminate, and the reason it's in the elevator is it's very easy to clean and maintain. And they have beautiful colors now. They have faux stone.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm necessarily saying that I would sheathe the house in faux stone plastic laminate, but it is a really interesting material. It's a green material, so just had to bring it up. I really think it needs some respect. And then another thing that I think actually is also really on trend for walls is decorative wood panels.
Definitely.
Right, either painted or stained, mid-century in style or traditional in style.
Yeah. Like yeah, we've been doing French. A lot of that.
Yeah.
Now, some people, when you say wood paneling, think of that 1970s wood paneling, too.
Mm-hmm,
not like that so much as more
actual wood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actual wood. Yeah, we're doing a lot of ceruzed oak panels and some kind of more mid-century tones, kind of warmer tones, too. So that's something to think about. And then I had to bring this up, obviously, art. And right. The reason I bring it up is sometimes that's just the right answer. You've got a sheetrock wall. It's on a stairwell. There's not an obvious start and stop place for any other material. If we started with wallpaper or even with a particular accent of paint, or it would be hard to stop it. Where does it go? So sometimes it's just art. You just find a really great piece of art. We commission a lot of artworks for walls.
Mm-hmm.
Murals would be in that category, and we do a lot of custom murals. That sounds like it has to be a really elaborate, expensive experience, but if you find the right artist, it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, you've done that a lot.
Yeah, we do a lot of murals. It's a very affordable way to get a wall covered. Paint is less expensive. Yes, you've got the labor involved, but it's less expensive than wallpaper typically. I have in my own home walls that I would consider art that are, what do you call that?
Like stenciling.
Stenciled,
right?
Yeah. Sorry, I couldn't think of the word. Yeah, stenciled, where I had a custom stencil cut and made, and then it's applied to the wall. So it looks like wallpaper, but it's just paint.
So it looks amazing.
It does look amazing. It does look really good. It makes me very happy. So that, and then, you know, as I mentioned earlier, considering your spaces and how you're going to interact with them and what your eye is going to land on. And just let your mind expand to what the possibilities are. Don't be limited by just paint. And then one last thing I want to say, which, you know, I always love. I love shaker style homes or homes that are reminiscent of shaker style that, you know, it's a religion. So I don't mean to, you know, but it's that religion and in that style of home. A lot of they were very, you know, idle hands of the devil's tool. And so it was always about work and cleanliness and keeping the floors clean and keeping things up off the floors. And so they would run shaker style pegs.
Right.
Which is the namesake around the wall. And then when it was time to get up and get out and get things done and be efficient and be helpful to the world, they would hang their furniture on the wall. And we do it for decoration now sometimes.
Right.
So I couldn't leave the subject without mentioning it. So I don't know if, Diane, do you have a favorite wall treatment? Or
I definitely like the wood paneling for sure. I would say is my favorite. You know, wallpaper, I come and go on that. But, you know, of course, I love Art Nouveau. So any of that Art Nouveau wallpaper's design I love.
Yeah. And I'm sure I've missed many things.
Tile is so fun, too.
But, tile. I like wood paneling, too. I think probably cork is what I would have to go with.
Oh, yeah, for
sure.
That's your favorite.
All right. Just a little snippet of your ideas for walls. Thanks for listening.
All right. Bye. Thank you for listening to Design Oracles with Amity Worrell, owner of Amity Worrell & Company, and Diane Kett, owner of DK Studio.